are listening to a production of the TOR Network, home of biting analysis. I'm Aleph, the thesis-seeking critic, Duat Red.
I'm Amit, the heart-snacking critic, Duat Pink.
And I'm Sono, the deeply, deeply frustrated critic, Duat Green. Join us as we continue on our wild ride through Dobutsu Sentai Zyuojirou. Can Yamato lead his human friends and this other guy through an adventure to save the human world from the Death Galleon and also this other guy? Find out how we think he's doing as we share our thoughts on Dobutsu Sentai Zyuojirou, episode 25, The Unhappy Camera. Our episode writer was Tanaka Jin. Our episode director was Shibasaki Takeyuki. I'm angry at both of them, so let's do this.
All right. Yeah. You just get into your animal instinct then, Sono.
Let's just do it, because it's freaking amazing how we can go from what this really beautiful, heartfelt episode one week to an actual literal garbage fire the next week. It's a shame. Because there's some really interesting things introduced in this episode, but we surround all of it with Leo being awful, and the show condoning Leo being awful. Again! And I'm not sure what I'm supposed to take away from this. Like, I'm trying to find the good message here, and it's hard. Like, stand up for yourself? Or you don't have to get along with everybody? Like, I feel like I'm really reaching with both of those, and my heart goes out to Misao every time he has to deal with Leo's nonsense. Nonsense being a way to put it that I can say on air without having to censor myself later. And, you know, the fact that the show tried to make him more like Leo instead of Leo being told, you are the problem and you need to cut it out. Misao deals with the trauma of what's happened to him every day of his life, and it's been, what, maybe 2 months?
Something like
since
that.
He arrived? So, yeah, you don't get over things in 2 months. And, you know, he's doing his best to cope and do right by his new friend group that he wants to help. Misao's first act in this episode, the first thing he does, is to give up an item that he describes as literally second only to his life. Just in an attempt to cheer up Yamato. That's all he wants to do is make his friend happy, and he's willing to give up this thing that means so much to him. Leo's response to him doing this is to berate him and insult this object that is so important to Misao. And it's impossible that Leo didn't hear him. Misao was not quiet about it. He was talking at a fairly normal level and Leo was like 2 feet away. Leo knows by now how Misao responds to people, you know, telling him he's doing a wrong thing. So he clearly knew what was going on and immediately, like, does this anyway. And this episode then closes in this terrible circle with Leo berating Misao's coping mechanism for dealing with his trauma and instigating a physical fight about it. And the rest of the group is just off to the side kind of laughing about it, which also bothers me. And like the entire climax of the conflict between the two of them is Leo pushing Misao to a breaking point and then laughing about it as if he's done something good and helpful when all he's done since Misao has even joined the team is bully him more and more until Misao breaks. Why are we teaching children to bully other people? Don't teach children to be bullies. Don't teach them to aggravate mental illness. Don't teach them that the right way to talk to people who are having problems or who have suffered some kind of trauma is to do this sort of nonsense. Don't make this look like something that's going to help people when in reality it is 99% of the time going to make it worse. I had a feeling it was gonna go this way because I'm used to children's television.
Yeah, you got that whole basic pattern recognition.
Yeah, and like I'm absolutely furious that Leo's perspective is treated as right and that the aggression between the two of them is apparently making them better at doing what they need to do. Like, look, bottling stuff up isn't great, and I hate admitting that Leo was right about that. Because he took it in a terrible, terrible direction. Like, bottling things up is a thing I've been unlearning for most of my life, but you can't just treat people like garbage and then say you're in the right because you're just being honest when you're very openly and obviously unapologetically hurting people. The long and short of this is just, I want to shove Leo in a ditch.
And that's a pretty commonly felt sentiment.
I would say the feeling is mutual, but I'm not sure that's quite the way to say it.
Yeah, no, that I dig you.
Okay, so I'm Amit, and I approve Sono's animal instincts on this episode. But really, this is such a strange string of events. The only thing that could possibly make sense to me is that Leo is a phantom, and he is still carrying out White Wizard's will, because he just doesn't know what else to do with himself. Leo can see the magical potential within Masao, and Leo wants to break that by pushing him into despair. Maybe he thinks if he breaks this gate, he won't have to be lonely anymore, because then he'll have a phantom pal? I don't know.
Man, is this the Wizard Returns movie I've always wanted?
Maybe Phoenix will show up next episode.
Because that would be the only way to salvage this.
Okay, so I'm just watching it, and like, look, I'm not gonna lie, I can squint, and I actually almost enjoyed the episode, but man, I'm watching it, and I'm just like, this whole thing reads like those people who have read half of one article and they just like to go around to places online and just talk about the evils of trigger warnings and safe spaces. And talks about like how the thing to do with someone who has PTSD is shove all the things that trigger them at them 24/7 without warning, respite, or waiting for a professional space that is headed up by a professional person who at the very least has completed enough classes that they possess a piece of paper that says, hey, I kinda know what I'm doing here. The world just must be rusty barbed wire on everyone's flesh all the time, and only then can we all be happy. Or, you know, the people who like tetanus, they'll be really just ecstatic 24/7. Because, like, I like the bits where they're opening up to each other and just saying, like, look, I hate people like you. Yeah? Well, I hate people like you. Like, that was nice. I get that they're trying to have a thing where everyone has a place in the world and whatever, but I reject the conclusion they came to with the evidence they presented. No friend group needs a D-bag in it. That doesn't make your friend group better. I appreciate that, again, they're trying to contextualize
Leo. Whoops, I've been doing it all wrong this whole time.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, turns out, like, I really just needed to bring in just a virulent racist to just explain to me, like, hey, all those people, I'm not even going to satirize the thing because there's no way you can satirize it that isn't literally a thing someone has said, so y'all get my point. It's just that It's that whole nerd social fallacy thing all over again, where it's like, hey, I'm friends with this guy, he should be friends with all of you. And I'm like, well, no, I actually kind of hate that guy. You can like him, you have fun, you do you, whatever. It's really frustrating to see that kind of repurposed here. And like, if it had been bound up in, like we could explain why anyone is friends with Leo. Because, come to think, I don't think I've ever really seen evidence that anyone hangs out with him on purpose.
Yeah, no, I think it's just, you know, they all work together, and then Leo just follows them around after work because he has no other friends.
Yeah, well, you know, you say no other friends, like, he might not have any friends. Like, they might just all
be
there.
Sela clearly doesn't like him.
Well, because he's constantly, like, insulting and humiliating her. Like, it's really insulting. And they're all bound up, I guess, by the fact that they're all lonely Zoolanders trapped in a world they never made, and they're, you know, they're huddling together for a community, and I get that. But this would have been an excellent place to pivot and talk about the ways you can be both a brash, uber-masculine loudmouth, and also a good friend to people without having to pout like a child because people exist who aren't you. And I can see what they're trying for, I really can. Like, it's one of those bits from, like, Shin Kenger, right? You learn about Kotoha or Shinken Yellow, and she has really bad self-esteem, and it's not a thing that needs fixing, it's just this thing that goes on with her, and hey, kids, it's okay if your friends are kind of sad like that, it just means they're like Kotoha, and they're people who need your understanding, and not even need your understanding, you just, you know, oh, hey, that's just how you are? Cool, all right. Well then, I will adjust accordingly. Or the time in Gosager, where Agri, or Gosei Black, thought all his friends didn't like him because that was the villain plot, and then the lionhead robot Gosei Knight just says, look, so your friends don't like you. That sucks. You still have a job to do, buddy. Get out there and, you know, save the world. And we all learned a good lesson about how, look, sometimes life sucks, but you gotta flex your fist tight and grimace into the middle distance and get stuff done. And I think they're...
I mean, I gotta interject Bokenger, because I'm me.
Oh, yeah.
Because they also did something with Boken Pink and Boken Silver. There's a whole episode that's like, I don't like you.
Oh, yeah,
Sokka's
yeah.
just like, I don't like you, but you're part of this team now, so we gotta work together. So, you know... I'm going to deal with it, and you got to learn to deal with it.
And look, if they had gone that way, and I feel like they're trying to do something like that. They're trying to have a thing about how, look, there's going to be some kids in your classes who are jerks. Just learn to communicate your mutual displeasure, then suck it up and do the work, and then return to your separate corners. I see that they were going for that. They just did not do a good job of it. Because like you said, like in the end, it's just like, well, it's a good thing Masao manned up. And it's like, no, it's not. At best, that's value neutral. Like, that's just Masao learning how to communicate with people. And that's valuable. But what it
ended with was a physical fight
yeah,
in a
true,
river.
That's true.
So, like, it ended
if
with
only
physical
this was being
violence.
Written by Inoue, and they'd throw Leo in the river, and you would never see him again. Because just a monster would jump out and eat him. Again,
yeah.
Y'all remember that bit in Kiva where there's just some fishermen out by that river, that exact river, I'm pretty sure. And there's just this one guy, and then the fish fan guy just flies into frame, tackles the dude, and he's gone, and you never see him again, and it's never referenced again, and it's my favorite thing.
Oh.
Just the fan guy just murdered this dude, and I guess we forgot.
Well, I mean, you can't unmurder him.
Like, well, I mean, we can't get him back. So.
The only way he can live on
nothing
is through that fan
guy.
Nothing
we can do about it now.
So, anyway, it sounded like a lot of complaining in the Animal Instincts. So, just to keep in rote, what got your hackles up this episode?
I don't know what more you want from me. I laid it all out pretty clear. All
right. Well, for me, you know, a main character in a hero show should not have the same MO or like shtick. Mechanics to them as villains from another show, and like Leo is just like a phantom from Wizard because they would find people who had a thing about them, specifically a physical object early on, and then it kind of faded, but whatever, and they would like try to destroy that thing in order to break the person, and they would fall into despair, and you know, all the phantoms were garbage people pretty much, and that's what Leo is too. I mean, I'm especially thinking of, like, Lizard Man right now. Like, that guy was such a loser.
He's not even one of the cool phantoms. He's not, like, a Medusa or a Phoenix or a Gremlin. He's just Lizard Man. Good call.
He's just Mida Bird from, like, the worst arc in Wizard.
Yeah, Rinko and Shunpei get arrested and he gets kicked in the shin. And
fight over literally nothing.
Yeah.
Because of a bird.
It seems that you've blocked it from your memory. Congratulations.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of Wizard. Yeah.
Which, you know.
I like a lot of Wizard, but a lot of it is just like, guys, come on.
And then my last thing is, you know, Team Q-Bar's Schasinger, whose name I like, is a lesser threat than Leo. And, like, that's a problem. Not only is he, like, a villain from another show, he's actually a worse threat than a villain in this show. So,
and
I don't like it.
I think my only downside is that like I was honestly just surprised there was a level of I really don't like Leo that I could hit. Like, I thought they had me already when he's just like, hey, what's up, person who has just undergone an exceedingly traumatic event and literally or figuratively has the ghosts of three of my countrymen living in his head, suck it up. I'm like and this one is just like, wow, no, he's tripling down on that. I hope a bus falls on him from space. I hope the Sagittarius arc just like launches its arrow right down on him. I know you don't usually replace a yellow, but this would be the like look get Kusaka, get not even Bird Kusaka, get like actual Kusaka, because like at least actual Kusaka is like, no, I really am just the worst. I'm a totally selfish guy, and you should hate me. And it's like, yes, thank you for your honesty, Kusaka, which is a thing I don't think anyone has ever said before.
Well, that's one way to turn the tides. By dropping a bomb like that.
Let's move on. Sorry, that was my bad.
Sona, was there anything you enjoyed in this episode?
Surprisingly. You know, as much as Leo turned the whole thing into a trash fire, Misao trying to give up his most prized possession to cheer up Yamato was really sweet. Like, Misao's just, he's broken and he's afraid, and now he sees that Yamato is broken and afraid, and he has something that makes him happy, and he hopes that sharing it will help, you know, this person that's probably helped him more than anyone else. He's a good kid, and I feel so bad that he had to deal with all of this. Any of this. I'm glad we got another appearance by Misao's animal dads to wash out the bad taste of the last time we had to see them. They were actually pretty sweet in working out how, you know, doing something nice, even if it's a small gesture, can help someone feel better. And, you know, everyone getting in on the camera and encouraging Misao for having done this kind thing was actually really cute, and I kind of laughed pretty hard at him just ignoring Leo and leaving him out, and Leo acting like a 4-year-old.
It's even funnier given that, like, Leo is just like, this whole thing is stupid and dumb and lame. You're so dumb to get him a camera. It's like, why would he think you wanted in on it then?
Like, it was just nice seeing Leo get even this really small bit of comeuppance for being the worst. And surprisingly, Bungle's just mere existence has managed to make the villain group more interesting, which is impressive enough on its own, but I never anticipated actually being excited to learn more about Kubar of all people, and wanting that plotline to start playing out as soon as possible. Like, man, that guy who had zero personality up until halfway through this show now is, like, the most interesting person in the villain group. You know, for all that I can't stand the way the show plays it, it felt real good watching Misao scream at Leo for being a bully and a jerk. Leo's kind of, haha, this was my plan all along, took a little bit of the wind out of my sails, but the moment itself of Misao just being like, you know what? You hate me? I hate me too! So, you know what? Stop telling me what to do, stop telling me how to feel, and, like, go die in a fire. That felt real good. Because, man, there have been times that I have wanted to say that to some people. And, you know, I'm glad that at the very least, for all that this was awful, like, they still only barely tolerate each other and are not friends. Like, end of the episode, they're beating each other up. They got along for, like, 5 minutes, and then Leo was a jerk, and they're beating each other up again. And I'm just glad that, you know, Misao doesn't just
laugh. Yeah, because that could easily
Leo
be the pattern, and that would be terrible. Alright, so, there's this funky parallel between the Death Galleon and the Juman where they all are concerned for their owner or leader. Sorry. And, like, I thought that was pretty neat.
That's a legit confusion.
You're right. Nari and the others wanting to attack Bungle for dissing Genis when he said he didn't want to be part of the game, like, really says something for them. Feels interesting anyway. I don't know. They could have gone more with the moment then, but hopefully that's a seed and we'll see that play out. I mean, and you know, Kubar went after him later, so there was that, but that was more a personal thing than about Genis, so who knows. So, yeah, I thought the instant camera thing was pretty exciting. Like, if they still have instant cameras like that in Japan, which I don't know they do, but I assume they do because Toei would buy something as cheap as possible, then, like, the continued existence of them is pretty neat, because I know it was kind of like a big deal when Polaroid folded here. Or, like, they're still around, but just a former shadow.
It's not a Polaroid camera anymore.
There are still instant cameras. There was someone, I think, I want to say Germany, who, like, is keeping, like, instant film alive. Like, there's just a really rich dude, I want to say Germany, but I might be wrong on that, who just, like, is really into instant cameras and didn't want to let the medium die.
Yeah, thanks. Maybe I'll have to buy one.
someone's free to fact check me on that and, you know... fill in my very vague details.
I just think it's really neat, you know, because, like, you know, they're a thing, and I knew people who had them, and I don't think no one in my, like, immediate family ever had one, but, like, relatives did, and they're kind of cool. Anyway, enough about that. We don't need to go down that rabbit hole. So as much as I will agree Bungle has a pirate look to him, and I didn't get to talk with you guys about it before, to me, I see a little bit of the Fangire King, like, maybe from his chest down, like, just kind of the vague shape of, like, the silhouette. looks kind of like that.
I could see that. Yeah, especially
he almost even has like bat wing type shoulders.
I can see the argument there. Yeah.
So that pleases me, even though that guy was a jerk. He had a cool design. And then Bungle's attitude is really fun, too. Like, none of the Death Galen have showed any willingness to stray from Guinness's orders. Like, likely because he owns them. And it's, but it's still so refreshing to have this guy being an independent bad actor running around causing trouble.
Yeah, I mean, like Sona was saying, like you were saying, like, it's so great to actually care about the ostensible villains, because I'm supposed to be afraid of them. Like, make that happen. Make me interested in what happens with them. So my biggest takeaway, outside of, again, why won't they just pull a Guy Gardner and have someone punch Leo so hard he turns into a nice person for a while, is what Sona was talking about, like, Q-Bar is suddenly super interesting. There's an implication that he might be a guy infiltrating the Blood Game for a chance to kill Genis, and Genis may or may not have blown up his home planet. Like, y'all shouldn't have waited till the halfway point to start in on this. Like, that should have been, like, episode 10. And I'm seeing some notes here. Guy Gardner, for those who don't know, was the third Green Lantern after Hal Jordan in DC Comics, and they basically just said, okay, a guy who is 100% sure of himself and feels no fear, he's either a superhero or a total monster, and he's a total monster. He's basically Leo, except just kind of ramped up even more and surrounded by a lot of idealized female characters that he is constantly like, hey, baby, how you doing? Yeah, he's kind of the worst. He has, like, an interesting redemption arc, and I kind of love him because the narrative agrees that, no, this dude is the worst. He's a sleazebag. And one time Batman, like, knocked him out in one punch, and everyone's just like, ha! He's always talking about how hard he is. Batman took him out one punch! Yeah! And then there was a bit, soon after where I don't remember what the context was. It might have been that Batman hit him just that hard. He's just suddenly a nice dude for a while.
Okay, that was totally worth the diversion. Like, thank you so much.
No, it's look, superhero comics are friggin' weird. Justice League International from the late 80s, early 90s, Giffen DeMatteis, and I forget the artist. I'm so sorry. I'm a terrible fan. I'm a writer guy. Kev Maguire, there it is. Excellent run. Wonderful stuff. Anyway, so I'm also, just to get back to the show, like, a thing that really charmed and horrified me in this episode, in just a weird sidelong sense, is the idea that people would believe that there is a camera for sale on a card table on the street will make you happy.
Not even for sale, just being given away for free.
Yeah,
you just walk up and take it.
This is a kids show, and also that this is a very different commercial culture than the one I have or have experienced. But I mean, wow, that implies either a certain level of really charming naivete or a horrifying desperation in the public at large. And I admit that latter would make sense given how many times that section of town has been reduced to rubble, and like how many of them have watched their friends just die terribly. So like.
Yeah, like, I have to imagine this is all, like, the same people from who were in that square last week seeing, like, ghosts of deceased loved ones.
Oh, this will make me happy? Good. Thank you.
That poor mom.
I'm glad. I never say this, but I'm really glad we didn't follow up the background drama. Like you said, that poor woman. again, though. Bungle, that is a villain. Like, that is... Like, he's not just a villain, he is a super villain, because he's doing evil, and he's doing it with so much flair and style. Because that is some evil. Like, that is, Dr. Doom looks at that and says, okay, you need to slow it down, dude. You need to just take it down a notch, okay? But anyway, I also like that we're seeing some personality for the crew in Misao's head starting to kind of coalesce, and that none of that personality involves anyone calling dibs on Waifu. Like, I'm glad for that. I'm currently leaning on Wolf as Ego, Croc as Id, and Rhino as Super Ego. It's not entirely there.
I think you're pretty solid on Rhino.
I think it's neat. I love those guys. Yeah, like, Rhino at the very least is the Arbiter. Like, and I like that. And okay, last thing, just to pick up on some of Sona's earlier points, like, Misao clearly being bad at cheering people up, but just wanting so much to do it is, like, the most charming thing to me. It's that thing, because, giving a gift like a material object. It does not mend things. Like it really, it's a sweet gesture, but the thing itself doesn't do it. But on the other hand, it's nice that you try it and everyone appreciates it. And like, that's why I kind of like this kid. Like, I was more annoyed at the constant. I would be a little annoyed at Misao having his big freakouts if Yamato had been like, actually, guys, I could just use some space or something like that. If Yamato was more messed up, I would be kind of like, Misao, you need to just take it down a notch, dude. This dude just watched his mom sort of pseudo die again. Just chill. But Yamato's being amazingly philosophical about it, so I forgive. And I just really liked the thing where Yamato was just being like, yeah, I'm approaching fine. It's cool. Thanks. Thanks for the gifts. That's really sweet of you. And that just really sold it to me. And then Leo has to come in and. Again, I didn't think I could like him less. It's just like, again, like, is this what it must have been like to be watching Vi's week by week? Just like, wow, this Kusaka guy's a tool. Oh, wow, he is.
But, like, the thing is, we were never supposed to like Kusaka. There was no, like, from the beginning, it's like, this guy is awful. We're, like, we're very clearly supposed to, like,
sadly,
empathize
yes.
with and like Leo. No.
Aelif, do you ever see yourself in the future liking Leo again?
It would take, like, he gets hit on the head. Or, oh, look, okay. We could do a whole thing where, like, a 3-episode arc where Bungley just, like, touches his head and we go into, like, Leo's really messed up past and we deconstruct all his toxic masculinity because it is, like, all of the villains that week. And then Leo has a big, like, oh, geez, guys, I am really sorry. As you can see by the fact that we are fighting the literal demons in my head, this toxic masculinity has been poisoning my soul for most of my life. That is not an excuse. You are all still right to hate me, but I am very sorry. Like, at that point, it'd be like, all right, now let Sela actually fight you. Again, you can still win, but she has to fight you, like, for reals. And she's gonna just tear his... And then she tears his throat out, like a shark would, and it's just like, yay! Balance is restored. Sorry, went a little dark there. Went a little dark.
What about you, Sona? What do you see happening in the rest of the show? Hopefully nothing directed by Tarantino.
I mean, I'm real interested in this whole Kubar thing and where it's going. Like, again, what a weird thing for me to feel excited about because this dude had zero personality for the entire first half of the show. But here we are at the halfway point and suddenly, like, I want a good just 2 episodes on this guy. And, like, is everyone else on the villain side gonna get more interesting now? Like, make that happen because I would love that. Also, next week is our wedding episode, which, you know, traditional Sentai thing. So my question is, who are we sticking in a dress? And will it be as great as when Gal Ranger did it?
What happened when Gal Ranger did it?
Gal Blue and Gal Black got married.
And there you go.
Both of them are dudes.
Yeah.
They were not literally married, but, you know, they may as well have been for the rest of the show. But they definitely, like, put Gal Blue in a tux and put Gal Black in a dress, and they were the ones faking the wedding. And it was deeply
annoying.
I'm hoping we put Tusk in a dress, honestly.
Well, he looks so dignified, like Misao said, so why not?
I know what I'm about.
And he would really cut I think he could cut a good figure.
That's what I'm saying. I think he could do it.
For my part, I hope. I don't know if we'll see it, but I hope Misao's dads are going to encourage him to deal with Leo in a meaningful way. It could happen. Well, yeah.
I could see Wolf telling him to just punch Leo in the face.
There's a part of me that really enjoys your language choice there. Yes. Encourage him to deal with Leo in a meaningful way. No half measures, Jesse! I am the one who knocks! I'm just saying, like, if they put Leo in an acid barrel and just made a big... Leo smooth. I am
what
really,
a vitriol
wow,
of your kid's
sorry.
Character.
Yeah,
you know what?
That is it's really unreal.
This is the first time I've felt myself like actually even disliking a member of a Sentai team, and like I hate Leo at this point. Like, I can't try and make excuses for him.
I can, like, I'm sure it'll pass, but I'm just, like, in the sort of quasi-fresh runoff, I'm just still, like, I don't know why I'm getting this annoyed. I think it really is, like Sona was saying, like, no, I've been on the business end of people like this for a long time. No one needs more of them.
Even Daigo in Kyoryuger, like, I don't know if I even actually disliked him, I just found him kind of boring. But, like, man, Leo, why?
And there is sadly no answer. But, moving on from that into something maybe that won't involve Aelif going a little ugly at a children's cartoon character. How do you think Shuojer's creatives can justify the trash we got this week? Because, you know, we're on a roll this week. Who is behind the show condoning Leo's behavior? Taking it to our panel.
Honestly, I don't think they can justify it. I think if they had to try, it would be like, oh, well, we were aiming for stand up for yourself or something to that effect. But man, this is one heck of a trash fire. Like, I can see what they wanted, but this was not the way to do it. This is not what they wanted. And in the end, it's hard to pin the blame on any one person. It's hard to do that with any kind of project that involves this many people. I don't know who just went ahead with things or who tried to resist and make changes and what did or didn't get through. It's a tough call. And in the end, I guess everyone involved has to carry a little bit of the blame.
It's one of those things where it's hard not, you know, where you have to keep in mind that most stuff going on TV for kids and adults alike goes through a long and probably very boring pitch, write, edit, repitch, rewrite, etc. process, usually done by a lot of insular industry folks filled with people who only realize what they said was, you know, was maybe bad long after it's, you know, it's done, it's out there. And usually the response just comes back as, well, look, we ran it by our editors who, coincidentally, are all also massive D-bags, and none of them saw a problem, so we just, you know, we figured it was cool. None of them would have said something.
That's like the blind leading the blind, isn't it? I was actually going to say something about drunk people, but never mind. Actually, this is great Wanda Sykes joke about a drunk caravan. How when you go out with your friends drinking, what you decide to do to be safe is that all of you drive in sequence with each other. And she says, how the hell is that any safer than just one drunk person? Anyway, sorry.
Look, Wanda Sykes, she's...
Yeah, no, I mean, she's great. She's I think it's from her first Comedy Central special. Anyway, it's a fantastic bit of comedy, so... moving on though. Yeah. So yeah, my answer to this is, like, I think these creatives must be flawed humans like us all. well, okay. Maybe
but
not all
like
of us,
me.
But like,
no,
I don't know. This kind of crap really betrays a lack of reflection or projection towards the fallout of some of the choices made. The creatives are competent to get across certain messages, obviously. I mean, last week was great. But I guess what can be harder to accept is that they don't fundamentally align with us or me. I'll just speak for myself and my vulnerable bent.
You can speak for me on this one too.
Okay, cool. So like,
yeah, I'm pretty sure we're all, you know, on the same page with this.
Then I'll speak for all of us. Like, we're okay with weakness and admitting the fact that, you know, we can hurt and we are hurt at times, and that we're like able to, we're vulnerable and, you know, exposed enough to get weak or to get hurt by things. Like, we can even and like know that it's good to admit when we're covering up our weaknesses and like not really dealing with things, because not dealing with stuff never turns out good, at least in my experience. Like, and we should all be open to do that. Like, I think these are things that we can all agree upon. And like, the fact that we think and feel those things implies a certain faith that we have in the world, that like we can count on others to nurture and care for us, and that we would be willing to nurture and care for other people who are hurt. And like, even if they can't articulate it well, or if they don't want to say it, like, I've experienced, you know, the two of you not being in the greatest shape every now and then. And you guys know, there have been, you know, bad times for me over the last while that we've been, you know, talking to each other and recording together and stuff. And it's like, we try to help each other out and we're open about when things suck. And like, I guess you are just creatives, like, don't hold that sort of philosophy or ethic that like, it's okay to be vulnerable and let people know you're weak. And like, you should, like, everybody should huddle around the weak person or the sick person or whatever and, like, try to help them out. I don't know. Maybe they're all just too obsessed with shonen stuff to be able to, like, believe that wholeheartedly.
Remember that everybody hurts. Come on. That was R.E.M. That was all over the place in the 90s. Like, it's an important message, even if, like, sometimes the song is a bit much.
So, it's okay.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I do this stuff. I cut the.
Now I want to go back and listen to R.E.M.
Look, those, like, I can't speak for a lot of the more recent output. I don't think they have recent output. Anyway, look, like, everything from, like, before 2000 still holds up pretty well.
Hey,
God,
it happens.
I'm so old. Yeah, it do. A little more every day. Now, on to our next question. So, given that we're not sure that there's anyone to blame, is it just that people are phoning things in then? Is there someone responsible for this consistent bad thing that has been in this show?
Like, I don't even know if I'd call it phoning it in, because it definitely feels like they're making an effort towards a goal, and like, it's like when you've got two parallel lines, but they're not quite parallel. Like, you've got the idea and you've got the execution, but the execution is tilted just ever so slightly at the start, and when you, by the time you get to the end, you're like 8 miles in another direction. And because it feels like there was a goal, but I feel like the effort is being made. But I mean, I know Japan has their kind of mental illness stigma, where, you know, basically their answer to it is suck it up and stop sulking, especially for things like depression, and that's not right. And I thought maybe we were getting to a point where things like children's media might start addressing it more properly and kind of going to the source of, if you learn about this stuff and how to deal with it when you're young, when you're older, you'll be better at dealing with it among yourself and other people. But instead, we are treading water and letting the sharks circle. And again, I don't think blame can really be pinned on anyone, any one person in a matter like this. There's a lot of larger societal issues that, you know, haven't been fought against the way some others have. And it's just frustrating to watch and a shame that this is what they think is okay to put in front of children.
Yeah, it really is just one of those things where I want there to be a single figure to blame, because at that point, it's like the dynamic of the show. If we could just take the one jerk and throw them out, everything's golden. But like you were saying, like, life sadly resists such simplifications, and it all comes down to parsing things apart and following the trail of antisocial messages back and back and back and back in time. In a whole other culture, which has a complete, you know, maybe not a completely, but a, certainly a different cultural attitude towards these sorts of issues than we do in the States. And, well, in the States, anyway, I don't really know. Anyway, but to the small picture, I really hope that this is one of those things where they're filming it, they're kind of wincing, it's just like, well, dang, there's a script we got. Here we go.
No ad-libbing allowed.
Yeah, exactly, because, like, well, I mean, you can't even ad-lib this, because, like, it's kind of the structure of the thing. Like, I don't like you. I don't like you. Like, I'm right, because I got you to talk.
Like, there's really no way
I
to
got
make
a reaction,
this
therefore I win.
Yeah, that's real, well, I mean, obviously, he's not mature, so. You know, it makes me sad, because, yeah, like, you know, Kamen Rider is the crying hero, but I guess, what is he crying for? And, like, again, it's that thing. There's obviously a disconnect here between us, as Western adults versus, like, the creatives who are non-Western, you know, Japanese cultured adults, and, like, what they perceive as being good and, like, wholesome or, I guess, worthy of giving to children in the show. So, I don't know. I guess the culmination of everything really means that we can blame someone, and that someone is Saburo Yatsude. So, like, you know, there we go. Laying it at your feet, sir. Calling you out, Yatsude-san.
Hey, look, it's probably Malshina just whispering poison in his ear again. Curse you, Malshina. Honore Malshina!
I mean, that's a pretty decent villain plot, just tearing the team down from the inside.
But seriously, like, it's obvious that, you know, most of the people making the show mostly care about it and what it has to say, but maybe they have nothing constructive to say in certain areas. Like this, obviously. I mean, like, by what you were talking about, Sono, about how, like, mental illness is perceived and dealt with in Japan, obviously, if they're not at the same level as, you know, we superior Westerners, then, you know, there's nothing we can do about that. Yeah, that was totally in sarcasm.
Let me just clarify.
Even
thing,
if in the West we deal with one issue better than anybody else, it doesn't mean we are perfect in any way. And, like, there's obviously a bunch of flaws in our nation, or, you know, in the States and whatever. So. That's
and
true.
I mean, like, look, we don't really deal that great with mental illness either. All honesty put out there, like, we're really not the ones to be throwing stones.
The only thing I can think is, like, maybe, I don't know, I don't want to go generational again and just say it's bad adults or bad older people, but, like, I think definitely the youth today are more mindful of this stuff and care more than people used to. But, like, I don't know. We're evolving into a softer society, and I think that's good. But we don't need to get into that right now, because I gotta go. Any last comments before we get out of here?
I want Leo to have some sort of you know, spiritual transformation. Maybe that's when he peels back his helmet and we see whatever's underneath, and that's when he embraces this other part of himself. That'd be lovely.
That would be nice. Or, you know, someone can just punch him in the face. I'll take that.
That would be really good, yeah. Be very satisfying. I think it should be Yamato, because I think he kind of looks up to
and
Yamato.
And not to mention that is basically, like, the show saying, you listen here, buddy. Because when the...
Yeah. If the Red's doing it, then everybody's gotta listen and grow from it.
Yeah. I think you're right. That's the better perspective to come from on that. Well, Aleph, you want to get us out of here?
So, for Laser Knees and the TOR Network, I'm Aleph.
And I'm Amit.
And I'm Sono.
And we'll see you next time.